Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Day of Influence podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I am your host, Aaron Borg, and today I have the pleasure of sitting down to talk with Corey McKenna. He was one of the initial eight speakers that we had at the Day of Influence this year back on January 7th. We're very excited to revisit his talk and kind of get that deeper dive, the behind the scenes of what he talked about that day, about support teams, extreme triathlons, and many other things that have defined him as a person today. So join us. We're excited to share the story with you. Corey, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah. So, you know, today we wanted to bring you in to get a little bit of a deeper dive on your talk from the Day of Influence here in 2020. Some funny parts about that being that, like, you know, we never would have seen what was coming in 2020. So I know it's going to be an interesting conversation for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, definitely did not see it coming after watching my video and seeing it again. I'm like, oh, did we only know what was coming?
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, with not only just the area that we live in, but I think a lot of people aspire to some of the things that you've done in your life, being an Ironman. We'll get into some of the X-Tri stuff. For those of you that may not have heard Corey's talk at the Day of Influence, he does some pretty crazy things. Like, on most people's standards, it's, like, pretty insane. So we'll get into that a little bit today, too. But, again, thank you for joining me. Wanted to just first start off talking to you kind of about, like, why you got into doing Ironman in the first place. Because I think, you know, you go in your talk, you talk about, like, all of the commitments and the training and everything that's involved with it. But, you know, why Ironman versus, or an X-Tri's? You can talk to us about that too. But, like, why that kind of physical sport?
Absolutely. You know, I have to go back to, early 90s when Ironman was actually on Wide World of Sports on ABC, and when it started becoming somewhat popular. And I watched every year on television Wide World of Sports and watched Ironman and said, you know, one of these days I want to go and do that, because it was one of those things that at that time was way out there. You know, it was, yeah, everybody does a marathon, but not everybody goes and does an Ironman.
Sure.
And so it was just one of those kind of bucket list things. And you know, and I was in triathlon as a kid, but I only did sprints. But it wasn't until I was watching Ironman on television one year after Jen and I got married, and it was always in Kona. That's the Ironman World Championships. Yeah. And they always chronicle a few individuals, the kind of the average Joe.
Yeah.
And this lady was doing her first and only Ironman, and she won a lottery spot to go. And she was doing it because of her two kids. And her two kids both had cystic fibrosis.
Oh, no kidding.
And I'm like, okay, that's like sign number one. But then what was really eerie was sign number two is the names of her kids. Her kids, her daughter was named McKenna, which is my last name.
Right.
And her son was named Ellis, which was Jen's maiden name.
Oh, how funny.
And I looked at Jen and went, all right, I got to go and do it.
You know, and it's like, funny how life works out that way.
Yep.
And I don't mean to derail this too much, but when I went and met my my birth family, my sister, my last name being Borg, I found her on MySpace, and at the time, because that was the cool thing, and she lived in a town called Borger, Texas.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Which is, like, how weird how those, like, name associations kind of, like, manifest in your life. It's weird. But anyway.
So, I had enough triathlon experience, and I said, hey, you know, I want to go and do this. And she goes, great, go ahead. And so I trained for my first one in 2006 and never looked back since. That's kind of how I got started with it. But a lot of people started doing it because people were realizing that this is actually an attainable goal.
Yeah.
You just need
a difficult one.
But it was like, hey, I want to go and do this. This is something now I want to try.
And now it seems like kind of a sports like marker,
yes.
You know,
yep.
Of like, it's kind of like that pinnacle of excellence. And granted, the X Tries is like the insane version of it.
But. Yeah. And, you know, and I think way back in, you know, even go back into the, you know, 70s, 80s and 90s, marathon was that pinnacle.
Yeah.
And, you know, tens of thousands of people, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have done a marathon. And so now it's like, what can we go to take it to the next level?
The next thing?
And so Ironman, I think, kind of became that next level. And when people started realizing, I could actually do this, I can learn how to swim and I can learn how to ride my bike and, you know, and I can start building up these distances. And so,
Right. Yeah,
I think it became something that people will go, yeah, this is great. You know, I can do this.
Sure. Was there like any part of it that you just completely sucked at to start with?
I would say,
'cause like, I feel like I would suck at the swimming so bad.
Well, I was kind of born in the water.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I actually had done all three events separately because I used to be on a cycling team when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I wasn't great, but mm-hmm. I was part of a cycling team and I always ran, but I never put them all together. And especially at those distances.
Sure.
And I had actually never run a marathon standalone ever. Until I did Ironman, and
oh my goodness!
So it was
all or nothing, balls to the walls.
It was kind of like all or nothing.
Wow!
And so I'd run several half marathons, but I'd never done one standalone. But prior to doing Ironman, and I've done several afterwards, but never up to that point ever I had done one. So
sure,
yeah, it was just like I would probably say running's the hardest for me.
Sure,
just because I'm not a big fan of running.
Right. One is just, I think no matter who you are, it's just kind of hard on your knees anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially those distances.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the swimming and the cycling came really easy. It was just the running. That's it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and so like, why is it that you kept doing it then? I mean, obviously like CF has been a major part of your life to date. And it started that way, but you know, why with the Ironmans, especially because you could have just, you know, been like a number of other people and just continued doing marathons or just doing swimming or, you know, doing one thing or the other. So why was it, you know, continuing to do Ironmans and then even exceeding beyond that?
Sure. You know, one is really just a healthy lifestyle.
Sure.
And I think it's just, it was something I know I can go and do. And I kind of constantly train. I do take my, you know, down times, you know, especially like right now, kind of the end of the mm-hmm. season. And so you transition to other things because you're tired of swimming, biking, and running for 9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
You know? Let's
sure.
go find something else. And so I think it's just, one, it's really a healthy lifestyle, but two, it's to go out and prove something for me. Can I go and do it?
Sure.
And then it's also being able to influence other people and saying, hey, you know what? Anybody can do it. I'm just an average guy. I'm not a speed
so
demon.
So says the X-Tri athlete now.
But yeah, I'm not a top age group finisher.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, because there are plenty that are really intense and they're really gifted and they will be, and they'll get a podium spot every time. Mm-hmm. Where me, I'm just kind of your middle of the
happy
road.
Happy to be there.
Happy to be there. I know I can finish. I don't, you know, and so to me, it's just, I can go and do it. And I know I can go and do it. And so it's just having that goal. And, you know, when we get into a little bit more about the X-Tri stuff, it's my personality takes me to, okay, now I'm kind of bored with Ironman. I want to do something different.
You're a junkie.
Yeah, pretty much.
An Ironman junkie.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, and so I guess on that note too, it's like, you know, with all the, you know, the COVID stuff going on, right? Has that put a big kibosh on, because I don't know, I don't keep up with the Ironman community necessarily outside of you. A couple of other, you know, trainers and things that I have in my life, but I don't think too many people have been running Ironmans. They shut them down this year.
Pretty darn close.
Yeah.
I would say a good 95% mm-hmm. did not even happen this year.
Oh, wow.
There were a couple that happened around the world where COVID was not a big issue.
Right.
Mainly like in Australia. They ran a few in Australia and New Zealand, but they closed it off to international athletes. So it was only locals.
Right.
And and then there were some in the United States that ran, but it was very, very few. So I would say a large majority of them got canceled this year.
So then that being said, like me being kind of just like for me, it's like I have to have goals out in front of me, right? So like with my weight loss journey, I've had these markers. Is that kind of the same for you? Or, I mean, has this kind of dampened your training efforts too?
Well, you know, when the year started, I was turning the big 5-0 this year, and my goal was to complete 3 Ironman triathlons this year, Ironman distance. I was doing one in Norway, one in Patagonia, and then I was going to do Ironman Canada.
Yeah, and, not exotic locations at all.
Oh, not at all. And so, but then they slowly started getting canceled because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And so 3 became 2, then 2 became 1, and 1 became none.
Oh,
and
man.
So all of the training that I've been putting in since last year, mm-hmm. Through this year I felt like I've been training for nothing, you know, because things kept getting canceled. But in my personality, it's like I just had to find ways to motivate myself to go, hey, this is what I need to do to stay healthy, because I could have easily just sat on the couch and said, oh, well, I'm not doing any races this year. I'm just going to sit and drink beer.
Right. Do my work, drink beer, and call it good. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so I think I just had to find ways to motivate myself and find new challenges, find new things to do.
And you had mentioned, I think, a little while back that you had started training other athletes, because I mean, obviously you're now infinitely qualified to like be a coach for training for Ironmans and marathons and things like that. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, coaching athletes, I've been an Ironman and USA Triathlon certified coach for several years now. So it imparts my knowledge and wisdom of just kind of that everyday guy helping out somebody who wants to start brand new at, especially doing an Ironman or a half Ironman, that they're able to achieve this goal. We just have to have a plan in place. And
and
here's how I can get you to the start line, let alone the finish line.
Right.
And helping them get through that. And this year was really tough because I had a couple of athletes that really wanted to do Ironman this year, mm-hmm. and then one got canceled, then they changed, transferred to another one, and that got canceled, and so then you could see the shift in their attitude and their motivation, because it's like, well, I just don't have anything to do now.
You don't have that destination anymore.
I don't have the motivation. Why do I want to go out and train now? Because I'm not training for anything. So it was really kind of helping them sort through those sorts of things. So I kind of started building in some challenges for them to do. And just to stay motivated to do something different and help them understand, okay, yeah, we all get it. You know, it is what it is. Let's move forward. And, here's what I'm going to have you do. Mm-hmm. And so that then can move into 2021 with a better outlook on some of the races that they want to do in 21.
Right. You know, it's been kind of I think 2020, and maybe I don't speak for everybody, but it's been a big lesson for me in enjoying the journey getting to somewhere, right? And so it's been a couple of different things. It's been the fitness journey. It's been getting my workspace set up in my studio, literally what we're doing here today. Thinking that, back in June when everything kind of got started in that way, I was like, oh, this will be a couple weekends project. We'll bust it out and that'll be that, and it was not.
Yep.
And it's just very recently that we got everything, being it's November now.
Yeah.
Just got everything set up, and so it's just been an interesting lesson in enjoying the journey, enjoying the steps, doing some work while you get there, putting in the time and the effort and the discipline, and I think that's really hard, and I'm not perfect at it, certainly. I imagine that when it's such a huge destination to it's physically crossing a finish line, that that would be very mentally taxing and very mentally just disheartening for most people.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier with, how did I get started? And then I became an Ironman junkie.
Yeah.
And for some athletes that want to try Ironman, they're going to be one and done.
Yeah.
And it's like, I did it. I crossed it off my bucket list. I'm good to go. I'm going to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah.
And there are going to be those ones and dones. And then I have a couple of athlete friends that have done, I think they're in their 30 plus, 40, 50 plus Ironmans that they've done in their lifetime. And I'm like, wow, knock yourself out, dude, because I my body's getting tired and I just kind of need a break. And I don't know if I'll ever get, you know, but then again, I'm hitting number 15 this year.
Sure.
You know, and by the time the end of next year.
So 15 total? Or yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Knock on wood. If, you know, 2021 works out really well, I'll have three next year. And so it's like
super stacked year.
Yeah. And because everything got, you know, postponed to 2021.
Right.
But yeah, you're going to have athletes that are going, or people that are going to, you know, cross something off their bucket list, and they're the ones and dones. And so I want to move on to something else, and they find another project or another thing that they want to accomplish. And so whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, you have to look at yourself as an individual as, you know, what are they, you know, what am I going to do? What do I want to accomplish? And how am I going to stay motivated?
Yeah.
And find it within yourself, especially in this situation that we're all in right now with COVID. We have to find ways to make adjustments to the ever-changing landscape.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's just interesting because people that I've talked to that are in kind of that same mindset that you have, where it's more about the journey. It's more about, you know, the staying in shape. It was about cystic fibrosis. It was about so many more things than just crossing a finish line. Like, is there even a sense of like that euphoria when you do cross the finish line? Or is it just like, okay, well, that's another one down. Rah, rah. And then it's like, move on to the next thing. Or do you actually celebrate that?
It's kind of funny you say that, because I think every Ironman event that I've ever done has been different, given weather conditions, nutrition issues or not, or whatever it might be, or even just getting there was a challenge. And the last one that I did here in Coeur d'Alene was in 2015, and that was the year that it was 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, and I think it was, 108 that
108,
day?
108, yeah. And out on the bike course, you know, the sun radiating from the pavement, they said it was over 140.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, every one brings in a different sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And that was brutal because it was so freaking hot. And, you know, it was probably the quietest Ironman that I ever did because nobody talked on the course. There were
Out there surviving.
You're out there surviving. The spectators are not really out there anymore cheering because it's like way too hot. I'm going inside where there's air conditioning.
Right.
You know, I think there comes a point where I'm like, okay, I'm good with Ironman branded events, so I want to go do something else because it will be now a serious challenge. And that's kind of why I got into extreme tries, is because now it's something different. And,
right.
And, you know, it actually, I'll use the analogy of corporate Ironman races versus grassroots. You know, or Ironman corporate is like everything is, you know, corporate rah-rah stuff, you know.
Sure.
Everything is amazing, and you know, the finish line is got thousands of people lined
up
against
blow up archways and tons of people and people shaking the bells and like cheering.
And you know, the courses are lined with people, and you know, in certain spots, and you got, you know, Ironman Village that has shops you can go to, and where Extreme Tri goes back to the grassroots of triathlon, where there is no corporate rah-rah stuff. The finish line is a line across a parking lot or grass, or you know, there's no Ironman shop. You know, there you show up to packet pickup, and okay, here's your bib number. You know,
go have fun.
Yeah, there's no backpack that you get. There's no finisher medal. There's no nothing. It's you, your support team, and the race.
And for you, it was, here, go hop on the back of this boat, get soaking wet, and then jump into the glacial water.
Absolutely. You know, and so it goes back. It takes away that corporate stuff. Mm-hmm. And where some people love that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Because there'll be a ton of people that'll never in their lifetime do an extreme tribal. They'll do Ironman all day long.
Right.
You know, and whereas others are like, I'm good with that. I'm going to go and, you know, I'm going to go do this, because it goes back to what triathlon really was. It's you in the race. There's no Kona slots. You're not going to a world championship. There's, you know, it's you and your ability to be able to succeed and get the job done. And you're going to need a support crew to help you along the way.
Yeah.
You know, there's no aid stations. You know, there's no, you know, Ironman is, we all joke that Ironman is the biggest catered event in the world.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Every 10 miles, you got an aid station on the bike, and every mile, you got an aid station on a run. And it's packed full of stuff to eat.
Right. Oranges and Snickers bars and Gatorade.
And when you're done with the race, you go to the athlete's food tent and you can have more. And, but where X-Tries, there are none. You are on your own. And so you create your own smorgasbord of stuff, you know? And so I think there's a number of people who like that. And because it does, it goes back to, what am I capable of doing? Now, there are still those guys that are just amazing athletes, and those women, they're amazing athletes, and they blow people out of the water. But a lot of times it's like, it's just going to be kind of your average person, and they're out there to prove themselves.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I think that there are those, you know, and then there are those, you know, there's individuals that will never do an Ironman, they'll never do an X-Tri, but they want to go and run a ultra distance marathon, 50 miles.
Sure.
Me? No way. No desire. Absolutely not. Way too much.
What is it? 26.2 is your maximum, huh?
Yeah. Way too much. I did a 50K one time, and it was like from mile 26 to mile 31 was the longest 5 miles of my life.
Okay. So then, because I don't know this, how does an X-Tri differ then? Like, if the distances are the same, right?
They're about the same as an Ironman distance. So 2.5 mile swim, roughly about 112 to 120 mile bike, and usually a marathon or slightly longer than a marathon, maybe like 27 miles.
Oh, okay. But I mean,
roughly the same distance.
So what do? They just throw you in ice water, or like?
Most of them are, the X in X-Tri is extreme. Mm-hmm. So it's extreme, could be extreme distances. It could be extreme.
So there's no like limiting factors for X-Tries. No. Like they don't necessarily have to be like 26 mile runs.
Harder the better what X-Tri is. and so usually the water where they swim is usually pretty darn cold.
Yep.
It's usually in the ocean or in a fjord, or is at a time of year that water is typically cold, wherever it's located. So mm-hmm. cold meaning 46 to 55 degrees.
And what is it like normally, like in the high 50s for Ironman and Coeur d'Alene?
High 50s, low 60s.
Yeah.
And
yikes.
and so then the bike is usually, you know, that 112 to 115 mile range, but it's usually lots of climbing, usually 9,000-10,000 feet of elevation gain, up over mountain passes. And then you have inclement weather along the way, like Norseman, which I get to go do in August of 21, has 12,000 feet of climbing on their bike ride. And the first 25 miles of the bike is uphill. And it's a 25-mile climb that gains 4,000 feet elevation. So we gain basically a third of the elevation on the first 25 miles.
That's so brutal. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's better than the alternative of like being on a bike for 4 or 5 hours and then having to do that.
Yep. And then the marathon is usually trail. It's rarely on road. It's usually over mountain passes and, you know, backwoods areas.
Right. And that's like the one thing I did see from Norseman, when you and I had talked about this a long time ago, is like and you can tell me about it, 'cause you've been there, but the end of Norseman and the mountain, tell me about like those conditions and what that's like.
Yeah. Norseman is kind of the exception to the rule in terms of their run course, because the first 20 miles of their run is actually on pavement. It's along a road.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of the lucky few that get to meet the mountain cutoff time, then you climb the last 4 or 5 miles up to the top of Mount Gaustetoppen in Norway. And it's a it's a brutal climb. You're not necessarily running it. You're kind of hiking it.
Yeah.
Because it climbs a significant...
And it looks like it's like loose shale.
Yeah, it's
and
not like hiking here. Yeah. It's loose shale. It's uneven. It's, yeah, you, there's no way to gain a motivation or a rhythm of running because you're constantly having to climb over boulders. And
you met the cutoff time, if I remember correctly.
I have not been to Norway.
Oh, you haven't?
I have not been to Norseman yet. I was supposed to go.
Oh, that's right, because that was going to be one of the ones this year. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So I've just seen, I've watched lots of videos.
Yeah, I was thinking of the documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. And so, but a lot of the X-Tries will have trail runs. A large majority of their run is on a trail and they climb mountains and up and over, and the weather could be sucky or the weather could be great. You know, it could be pouring down rain, or it could be a blizzard, or it could be sunny and hot.
Right.
So that's what kind of makes it an X try, and then you just you have to supply your own support crew. So you have a team of one or two individuals that follow you,
right? Because there are none of those aid stations, correct. So they bring your oranges and Snickers bars and Gatorade.
Yep, and then if your bike is if something happens to your bike, for example, guess what? Learn how to fix it. You're on your own.
Yikes.
There's no sag support, somebody driving around with extra bike tires and stuff. You have to learn how to fix your bike. So if your chain breaks, you better have a spare chain, or you need to learn how to fix your brake pad, or you need to learn how to fix your tire or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of on your own.
Dude, that's so intense.
Yeah. So
the X-Tri I'm pretty sure you did that Alaska Man,
yes.
Right? That's the one that you did complete. Okay.
Yes.
So did you run into any of those problems during Alaska Man?
Knock on wood, no. Thank goodness.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Well, that one's over. So yeah.
I had a friend though whose tire blew out, and he had to sit on the side of the road. He had to call his support to turn around because they were at the next.
Right, they kind of stay ahead of you.
The next planned stop, he had to call him and say, you need to come back. My tire, not the inner tube, but my tire blew out, and I need you to bring me my spare tire. So he had to sit on the side of the road for like 30 minutes till his support team came back. And
then spend probably another 15, 20 minutes fixing a tire.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you're burning up basically an hour.
Yeah, and I was the race that I had done in 2018, we had a... my support team met another support team, and their athlete had 6 flat tires on their bike.
Get out of here.
And so
get so lucky?
And then so they were asking, do you have a spare tube? Because they ran out of tubes.
Yeah.
Because you don't plan on 6 flat tires, And it's and knock on wood, I did not have any issues. So the wind was brutal, but that's part of X-Tri. You get what you get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of your support team, as you mentioned in the Day of Influence talk, part of your, part of your journey and part of that discussion was that you were the support team for Jen and through her journey through cystic fibrosis. And it's just kind of interesting to hear you talk about those parallels between, a pro athlete world and then your very real, very present personal life, And so it was just really cool to kind of see, metaphorically and literally, like you talk about, those elements and how important it is to have that in your personal life. Jen had gone and done a marathon as well when she had CF, which, to do a marathon period, like we said, it's like, that was like the 70s standard, right? Of like, that was your pinnacle. And she did it with CF.
Yeah. Yeah. She was pretty amazing. Before we ever got married and before we even met, I think the longest she had ever done was like a 10K, a 6-miler.
Yeah.
And so... I was one of those individuals that said, you can do anything you want. You just got to put your mind to it. I said, so would you want to, do you want to go? And so the very first race she ever did, I don't know how she even decided how I ever got her to do it, was we did a 30K trail run in Death Valley in February.
Holy cow.
And so it was 18 miles on this amazing trail. So it was, they, we, if you're familiar with Death Valley, it's the one of the it's I think the hottest place on earth. You're in talking the summer.
Like sometimes so, it's like 125 degrees.
So that's why I clarify it is February. It was butt cold out there.
Yeah, desert.
It was high desert. Well, we were at about 100 feet elevation at our hotel. Mm-hmm. But early morning, it was like 20 degrees out.
Oh wow!
And so it was really cold, and we're all huddled, and they bust us to the race start, which was up way out in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
And so it was a. It started out with a 2 mile downhill, a 2 mile uphill, and then a 14 mile downhill. And it peaked at 5,000, a little over 5,000 feet elevation. Mm-hmm. And so she did a run walk combination. And so I met her at the finish line and I sat and, you know, I sat and waited for her because I did it in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, she said, I want to walk a full marathon. And so we signed up for the Big Sur marathon.
California.
Yep. Yeah. Big Sur, California, along Highway 1.
Yeah, and big one.
Yep. She walked that sucker, and she did great. She suffered a little bit near the end, but I was running it too. And
I was going to say, I think most people would suffer a little bit by the end.
Yeah. And so, but she didn't let, you know, she was a trooper, man. She just said, I want to go and do these things because I want to prove to people that I don't have CF, that I can, you know, you can do anything you want, you know, and just because you have a disease or a disorder or whatever, I'm going to go and do this. And I'm like, let's go.
Right. And so then she came up and was your support crew the first time you tried to do Alaska Man.
Yeah, we, because she couldn't, because one of my support, in X-Tri, you have to have one person be on the run with you. And so there was no way she was going to actually be able to do the run.
Sure, that makes sense.
Especially climbing a mountain a couple of times.
10,000, 12,000 feet, sure.
Yeah, so you want somebody who can keep up with you or stay with you. And so she decided there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we had a couple of people from our church who went with us. He was going to be my support runner up the mountain in Alaska. And then the two girls would, you know, stay at the bottom at the finish line.
Sure.
So technically she was still my support while she was in the car and mm-hmm. even at the swim exit and that sort of thing. But then when it came time for the run, I would have somebody else. And that was kind of the plan. But that first year is when she got sick while we were up there. Mm. So literally we had pulled into town and, you know, checked in to the race and we had lunch. And then that's when everything just kind of went south. And so she just had a hard time breathing. Some complications started happening. And so I said, well, let's go to the ER. And so we went to the local ER and they had no idea what to do with her. Because they weren't outfitted with
just small town.
Yeah. Oh, the town was probably the size of your pinky. It was like 100 people that live in Seward, Alaska. You know.
Oh, okay. And, oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, so
it's pretty remote.
Yeah, you're out in the middle, literally out in the middle of nowhere. It is the very end of Highway 2 in Alaska. And
oh, wow.
So they were like, we need to get her to Anchorage, and the only way mm-hmm. we're going to get her there is in a helicopter. And I'm like, well, can I just put her in the car and just drive there?
I mean, we were fine through lunch. Yeah, like, I understand this has some urgency, but that much urgency?
Yeah. And they used terms that we never heard before, like her whole body's going septic and da-da-da-da-da, and this is life or death. And I'm like, what? And Jen and I are looking at each other like, what are you talking about? You're using language that her CF doctors never used.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm like,
uh-oh.
All right, call the helicopter.
And so you joke that like she gets this beautiful hour-long ride.
Oh, it was at midnight, which was amazing. So it was still that, because the race was in July, so we had the midnight sun.
Right.
And
it's like 23 and a half hours of sunlight
It was amazing, yeah. And so I immediately dropped out. I was like, I just told her, I said, I'm dropping out. She goes, no, you need to go and do it. I'm like, nope. Hun, it's just a race. It's going to be here next year. We can come back.
Yeah.
You know? And so, they flew her to Alaska. They checked her into the hospital. We had an extended stay of about 6 more days in mm-hmm. Anchorage until they released her. And fortunate thing is that the hospital that was in Anchorage had a CF doctor who had been in the CF community of medicine and knew.
Oh, that's really fortunate.
Knew her CF doctor here in Spokane because they did their residency together. And so they knew each other. They've been in CF for like 35 years. And so it was great because then he could just call him and they just had this conversation over the phone. Here's what's happening, you know, and just had a plan of action.
Small world.
Yeah. So it was great. Dang. I mean, it couldn't have been any better. But at the time, I'm like, we really got to take her in a helicopter? You know, I'm thinking dollar signs here. You know?
Yeah,
this
for
is like
sure.
a $40,000 helicopter flight for an hour. So it was, I'm like, I can just put her in the car and it's like $40 of gas, instead of $40,000 hospital, helicopter bill. But fortunately, the nurses gave us information to get LifeMed and pay the annual fee, and they'll retro the flight. And
yeah, so there's your PSA out of this whole thing.
Best $50 ever.
Yeah.
So, and it was great because then we had it the following year when we went back just in case something happened.
Yep, there you go. And then you're even more prepared the next time around. And so that brings me to another kind of question, just in more of a personal nature, not necessarily even pertaining to races, but because this is something that's been very present through your athletics and through your journey with Jen, like, tell me about your support team now and what it is about that and why that kind of idea and that thought process is so important to you. And maybe just who some of those people are now.
That is a really great and actually very personal question.
Yeah.
Because I've never experienced anything like this before.
Sure.
And both my parents are still alive, so neither one of them have experienced a loss of a spouse before. But in a odd sort of parallel, Jen's mom actually had experienced this because when we were getting ready to relocate to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Jen's mom, Virginia, was retired, so she was actually going to spend a large majority of the time, if not the whole time, over there in North Carolina while I came back and forth because I was still working.
Working, right.
But the week before we left in February 2019, her husband up and died.
Oh, my goodness.
Like the day before we were getting ready to leave. And just out of the blue, no rhyme or reason, just I was out on a job and died of a heart attack.
Wow.
And so in an odd sort of way, we both had lost a spouse that year. And not what we expected to have happen.
Right, kind of a common bond.
Yeah, and so that became kind of a good support, even though that we, neither one of us kind of truly talked about it. Mm. But then we would come together at some just interesting times and just process. And so she became a really good support. And of course, my parents were as supportive as they could, not fully knowing what it was like to lose a spouse, but having their own child lose their spouse is, and Jen was a big part of their life as much as they could, even though we lived in separate towns at the time. But, I had people at our church, come to help because that's who they are and who they were. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty amazing, while it was very, very hard, I think even doing this Day of Influence talk was great therapy for me.
Yeah.
Because what it did is it allowed me to sit down and write out and share and practice and share this story with everybody. And so being able to move forward in life, it required support. And the support comes in very various forms and in various in various ways. And it's trying to recognize those. And then it allowed me to start dating because I wasn't sure if I was ready. But then my faith allowed me to, God said, you know what, you're okay. You're going to be just fine. And so allowed me to start dating and start looking at that possibility of whatever that's going to look like. And then out of the blue, God put Katie back in my life. And that's just been an amazing support.
Yeah,
in so many different ways.
And I've personally gotten to see your guys' interactions, but coming out, supporting the Gen Paddle Run,
yeah.
And being, you know, a champion for you has been so cool to see, and to just see you happy has been so awesome.
Yeah, you know, and it's been amazing because she looked at it as Jen gave her a gift. Because Katie wouldn't be there if Jen was still alive. You know, because I would, you know, I'd still be married. I'd be taking care of Jen and, you know, wherever that may be, whether we're still in, you know, hindsight.
Things may be more status quo from what they were before.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, and then I look at the whole COVID thing this year and knowing what Jen had gone through with.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even think about that.
With transplant on top of her CF. I mean, it would have been... kind of would have been ugly. I think it would have been really a lot more challenging and a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Given, you know,
having
hindsight.
To wear masks and all of that is just.
Well, and this transplant alone, our whole life would have changed.
Yeah.
Obviously for the better, but also in terms of making sure infection doesn't happen and all of those sorts of things and just a whole lifestyle change itself. But. Having known all of that and where we are today, you know, Katie has said that, hey, you know, Jen gave her a gift in me, because she wouldn't be here if Jen was still here.
Right. And, that's a super cool perspective.
Yeah. And so she thanks God and thanks Jen every single day for this amazing gift that she's been given. And she's just been an amazing support along this process. And she's been very accepting of any grief that I still have, which will be ongoing. Anything I want to share or talk about, she's open to it and willing to listen, and she wants to share anything that I want to share and all of that. So it's been awesome.
That's super cool. And I mean, just bless Katie for having such a good outlook on all of that.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people would be a hard thing to not necessarily like overcome, but to be involved with somebody that, you know, that has that.
Yeah. And I think too, it's really one of those things that we're all broken in some way.
Yeah.
And whatever it may be, whether it's right now with you're struggling to put food on the table because you don't have a job right now, or you're homeless, or you have an ongoing disease, or you've lost somebody in your life, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. We're all broken in some way, but you have to have somebody or a group of individuals that you can turn to as your support. And you just have to identify who those individuals are and know who they are. And I think, I know I could not have done it alone.
Certainly.
And so I'm thankful for all the people that have said, hey, whatever you need.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, my best friend in Bakersfield, California, when I came home from North Carolina after Jen passed away, was waiting for me at the airport.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, that was just, that's the kind of support that you don't expect. And that's the kind of friend that you have that you just go, they'll just drop everything and came up for a week and stayed here just because. And so, you know, he's a fellow Ironman triathlete. And it was like, I was like, dude, I mean, he just dropped his life. And he's got four kiddos at home.
Oh, wow.
And so he just dropped life and said.
Four kiddos and an Ironman.
Yeah.
And dropped everything.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. And just came up and stayed for a week. And it was great. You know, so, you know, support comes in many different forms and comes in many different ways. And it was great. And so you just got to identify who those individuals are.
Yeah. And I think in your talk, you do a really good job of, you know, kind of outlining that and then, you know, who those players were for you. And Corey, I'm always impressed. And I'm really excited to hear about how your next X-Try goes. Tell me, and just so people know, right, because you kind of alluded to this with me a little bit, tell me about how you got invited to that next X Tribe, because it's pretty cool.
Well, you know, when I was at Alaska Man, they gave out 4 slots for Norseman. I received a spot to go to Norseman in 2019.
Right.
And so I was planning on going to Norseman in 2019 and was training for it. And then, you know, Jen happened. So I, you know, immediately dropped out.
Right.
But the race director was really kind enough to give me one of his race director spots for 2020. And so mm-hmm. I was like, sweet, you know, and then 2020 happened. And so now we're all going in 21. Well, part of the X-Tri World Tour group, because 2020 happened with COVID, they created an organization or a virtual event called My X-Tri Global Challenge. And mm-hmm. they created 14 segments that you had to do, each one harder than the other. So they had several swim segments you had to do, several biking segments you had to do, mm-hmm. and several running segments you had to do, and you had to post your results through their online system and, you know, prove that you did it through GPS tracking and that sort of thing. So if you completed all of them, you got your name put into a drawing for 4 X-Tri slots of your choice. And so they would choose 2 men and 2 women. And sure enough, I won one of the spots of my choice.
Oh my goodness.
And so I'm like, and so all my friends are like, you need to go play the lottery.
Seriously.
You're like always winning.
You've won like 4 lotteries in a row.
Yeah, pretty much. And
all right, well, you might start carrying around a lightning rod. Then.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm going to do one in 2022 in Scotland.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. you know, and on top, you know, I need to give a shameless plug too.
Yeah, by all means.
You know, on top of doing triathlon, you know, not only do I coach athletes, but I've done race directing before. And so kind of in honor of Jen's passing, we're incorporating a couple of her 2 favorite things was running and paddling, kayaking or paddleboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we were scheduled to do it this year in 2020, but you know how things go. And so we're doing the Jen McKenna paddle and run, starting in 2021 in September, September 11th.
Yeah, September 11th. Okay.
And so if you go to jenpaddlerun.com, you can get more information. Registration opens up on January 1st. But it's a great way to honor 2 things that she loved to do, honor not only her dedication and commitment to taking care of herself and CF, but the impact she actually had on the community, and what she did for our community, especially with Union Gospel Mission. Worked there for several years with the ladies at Union Gospel Mission.
I did not know that.
And was a volunteer coordinator at Union Gospel Mission. And so she left a legacy there and left just a trail of commitment and dedication to not only living life to the fullest, but, you know, not letting things get in the way of achieving what you want. So we're going to be doing that this year. We have a new location. And of course, thanks to you, Aaron, for your upcoming video production and your photos that you took, because I think it's going to be cool. Can't wait to have you out there to take actual race day shots of everybody.
No, I'm looking forward to it. The actual events are always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I am definitely looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, that'll be great. So that's kind of my shameless plug. So keep an eye out for that. But if you check out our website, you'll get a lot of information about the stuff that we're going to be doing.
Absolutely. Well, Corey, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today. And I always appreciate your positivity and that outlook of moving forward. It's been certainly an inspiration to me, and I know many others out there. So
absolutely.
We'll look forward to more talks with our Day of Influence speakers here coming up in the near future. But Corey, again, thank you.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for listening to the Day of Influence podcast. Our next Day of Influence event is on March 18th, 2021 in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho at 9 a.m. at the Croc Center. We can't wait to meet you.